Welcome to another City Coast Church podcast. For more information, please visit our website at www.citycoastchurch.com.au.
Thank you, Charlie. Didn't you do a great job? Thanks, Squid. Appreciate it. Someone lose a ring on Friday night at youth. Very pretty, won't fit me. Look, I actually ended up at youth on Friday night, believe it or not. The grey beard and the bald head did not keep me out of the building. I had the pleasure of being in the room of over 30 young kids who I got the pleasure of watching worship, pray for each other. And then even our little friend Sky got up with the microphone to bring a generosity moment at their Friday night. And when I think about the times I've seen kids wandering the streets near 12 o'clock at night without any guidance or parental supervision, and I see some of the mischief that can come from their hands, to think that we have a house that's housing kids every Friday night to give them an opportunity to worship, I tell you right now, my heart is so full of gratitude for what you as a church have made possible. The fact that we come to this place and we create a facility and we put on programs and events where our future can come and be developed and grow, it makes me grateful beyond words. Now, I'm meant to be bringing you around a generosity moment, but I kind of want to change it to a gratitude moment this morning. When we see a church that is so passionate about seeing God move, not only through our young people, but through our families, through our businesses, through our neighborhoods and our city, and we are so passionate about seeing that happen that we'd open our wallets and give of our hard-earned wage every week because we know that God can do something miraculous with it, I'm grateful. In fact, I look at the things that God has done in my life and to hold on to these material earthly possessions compared to what I know I can receive from Him, it's an easy answer for me to just open my hands in generosity and go, God, you take what I've got because I know you can do so much more with it than what I can do with it. So for me to come and give a measly 10% to God, to know that He can take it and multiply it and do bigger and abundantly more than I ever could with it, mate, when I partner that with the gratitude of my heart, that's an easy answer for me. And Sky came up to me and she had some tech issues on the night, isn't that right? Her phone with all her notes went flat, so she was borrowing a friend's and reading her friend's messages while she was doing it. No, that's not true. But verse after verse after verse, Sky excitedly turned to all of these verses where it says, we be generous, God be generous. We give, God gives. We bless, God blesses. She identified this pattern that if we give generously, we receive generously. What an incredible insight from the heart of our children. And it's something that they're sharing with each other on a Friday night, and that got me so excited. It touched something in here and got me so grateful. So this morning, when we come to our time of generosity, just take a moment and consider the impact that our small 10% has done through this community of Bundaberg. Not just here in this building, but the people that we've managed to touch, influence, and worlds that we've had an impact on because of our generosity. Hey, let's close our eyes and let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you continue to bless us beyond anything we probably deserve. We thank you that you continually open your hand towards us, Lord God. And this morning as we give generously, we thank you that we are going to see you move in a generous way as well, Lord God. We thank you that we are going to see lives change. We're going to see marriages restored. We're going to see schools revolutionized, Lord God, that we're going to see your hand move through the businesses of this region. We thank you, Lord. We celebrate you and we are so grateful for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Hey, there's a few ways you can give. You can give via the website if you are tech savvy and can figure out those online world. Otherwise, we've got offering box over by the hub or by the door on your way out as well. Otherwise, you can, did I say website? You can jump on the website. It's a great way that you can give as well. So, fantastic. Look, after a week that's been, Thursday, we all got the opportunity to spend a moment to remember those that have served our country. We had an opportunity to take a moment of silence and in a moment of respect and appreciation, consider men that have laid their lives down, men and women that have laid their lives down for us. I'm starting to pick up this morning that remembrance seems to be a theme that is recurring, like the songs we're singing, talking about the things that God has done and what He can do again. Even Charlie talked about the miracles that God had, Jesus and God had performed over time, splitting seas and healing blind and strengthening lame ankles. You know, we have an opportunity to come to a place of remembrance. And I've got a bit of a treat coming up for you this morning. We've got three of our incredible leaders in the house. They're going to come and join us on stage for a panel. Hey, can we give the creative team a round of applause? Thank them for all their work. Yeah. Thanks, guys. So I've been reading through Joshua this week, and I came across this incredible story where they were trying to go from where they are to where God wants them to be. And there's a problem. There is a flooded river between them and where they're meant to be. There's a river that at that time of year during the harvest breaks its banks. So this isn't a standard sized river. This is a river that has been maximized. So Joshua and the Israelites are on one side of this river. God is calling them to the other side of the river. And we see this moment where God says, tell the priests to pick up my ark and my covenant. Take the ark and have the priests step into the river. And the moment they did that, like Charlie said earlier, the sea split. In this moment, as the priest's feet hit this water, the river banked up and created a wall and allowed them all to walk across on dry land to the other side. When they got to the other side, Joshua commanded 12 of his men to go and collect a stone from the river, and they made a monument there. A monument, and this is what happens. They say, what's going on? What's going on, Joshua? Why are we doing this? And he says, now that when people come up from the Jordan on the 10th day, they've come up from the river, they take the 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, and Joshua set them up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones for? Then you shall let the children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. As the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the people of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that you may fear the Lord your God forever. It's about setting up a monument. A monument that isn't just to say, hey, everybody around today, remember what God did for us today. It's a monument that's set up so that generations would come to that place and say, what is this about? And in that moment, something beautiful can be revealed. We could say, this has been established because this is what God did for us. Now, I love that Pastor Joey and I got to walk into this building after 45 years of it serving the community of Bundaberg. And when we walked in and we say, what is this facility for? It just echoes the stories of God's miraculous through the city of Bundaberg. This building is here because of the things that God had done in the lives of men and women. It echoes the stories of miracles and breakthrough and provision. It echoes the songs of worship that were really quite fun. Gary probably knows a few. Do you want to come up and sing us one, Gary? Give us a bit of a Holy Spirit two-step or something. There are some incredible praise and worship that would echo in the halls of these places. And the exciting thing is I've been having people come to me over the past few weeks going, I had to walk four blocks to get to church this morning. I had to be nursed by Damien this morning because there weren't enough seats. I have people coming to me saying, we're gradually running out of space in this place. And it takes my mind to a story where Jesus' disciples were faced with another dilemma, where Jesus was standing there preaching and they were all leaning in and getting into the word of God, and all of a sudden the disciples come and say, "It's getting late. You should probably send these guys away before you have to go and cook them a meal." And Jesus said, "No, you know what? You go fetch them a meal." So the disciples are like, "You want us to find food for 5,000 people plus their wives plus their children? Okay, no worries." And what I love is the disciples come back with a little boy. They've flogged his lunch. They've got 5 loaves, 2 fish. And they're like, "Jesus, this mightn't be enough, but we're going to give it to you, and we're going to trust that you're going to do something miraculous with it." And you know what? Jesus did something miraculous with it. Not only did he feed all the people present, but he collected up 12 baskets of leftovers. So I'm sure that little boy would have been well and truly compensated for the lunch he got flogged. But what the heck do bread and fish have to do with having nowhere to sit? Okay, this is what it is. I've got an exciting announcement that we are going to take what we do have, we're going to take it to Jesus, and we're going to say, "Jesus, here is something miraculous that you have done for us. Can you do something miraculous for us again?" And we're putting in his hand one incredible Sunday service, and we're asking him that he would multiply it into 2 incredible Sunday services. Now, this is a little bit of a step of faith. Like, Mum told me to bring this lunch home because this was going to feed my family, but I'm going to trust that Jesus is going to do something big with it. We're going to give him our auditorium for a second time on a Sunday morning, and we're going to believe he's going to fill it with people that need to discover the love of God. We're going to believe he's going to fill it with a place with people that need to find themselves in worship. We want to open these doors for a second service and see it filled with the people of Bundaberg. Can we get excited about that this morning? You know what? Putting on a whole other service is a whole lot of more work. But I know that when we see faces like this, when we see hands raised and we see the house alive with the excitement and the joy of the Lord, then we're gonna open it 50 times a week eventually. You know? No, let's slow down, Adam, slow down. But what we're going to do, we're going to launch 2 services. So as of the 9th of June, everyone say 9th of June. So this gives you plenty of weeks to invite friends and family to join us. We are going to move our 9:30 service to 8:30. And we're going to have a second service at 10:30. Now, this means a few exciting things. This means there are 2 opportunities for you to come and worship. There are 2 services you can invite your friends and family to. There are 2 kids' church programs you can invite the young kids in your neighborhood to with their parental permission. Avoid throwing them in the car and bringing them without mum and dad knowing. And it also means there's going to be 3 opportunities to grab a nice coffee or some snackage from Cafe 140. So before our 8:30 service, between the 2 services, and after our 10:30 service is an opportunity for you to connect with the community that you invited along to our incredible house. Does that sound good? Now, obviously, God's hand is going to be on it. We're going to see his spirit move in the miraculous, but there's also going to take a measure of effort on our behalf as well. We need to make sure that our kids' teams are strong. We need to make sure our hosts and our operations team is strong. So there's opportunities for us to stand up and say, "Hey, I'm going to serve one service, and I know that I have an opportunity to sit in another." So we're going to start seeing this incredible activation of a church where they say, "Hey, I'm going to get up early and I'm going to go serve the 8:30 service, and I know that I can worship in the 10:15. And we're going to see people that attend the 10:15 say, "Hey, I'm going to make sure that I'm serving for the 8:30. Did I just say serve the 8:30 twice? Yeah. And we're going to see people from the 8:30 go, "Hey, I had a great Sunday. I'm going to go serve in kids' church to make sure our 10:30 family are going to enjoy their service as well." So it's a great opportunity to be activated and to get involved in the things that this church is doing to influence this next generation, our future, our kids and our family, and make this house alive with the things that God is doing. Hey, can you tell I'm excited about this? Speaking a little bit fast, but speaking about excited, Rich, can you grab this pulpit for me and discard of it? I don't need it this morning because we've got three of our incredible church family leaders coming up to join us on a panel this morning. But first, I've got some muscly lads. They're going to bring up some couches to make us all comfortable. Rich, you can do that as well, can you? Work, boy, work, work. No. If you haven't met Richard, you got to meet Richard. He's fantastic. He's always got a smile. He's always got a joy smeared across his face. Joy. Can you smear joy across your face? Or do you radiate joy from your face? Radiate. It's a bit nicer. Thanks, Joy. Richard and Brody, right in the middle there, guys. Thank you. Come forward. This way, this way, this way. Good job. And then you're good just there. Jono, fantastic. Is that symmetrical, guys? Joey's in the front row. Yeah, fantastic. Awesome. Hey, look, first guy I want to welcome up, he's the son of the house. He's grown up on this carpet. His skin's probably amidst the pile of this carpet because he's skinned his knees that many times running around like a little fella. But now he actually heads up our young adults department. He's enthusiastic about what City Coast Church is doing in this community, so much so that he serves on the creative team. He serves in the YA team. He serves pretty much anywhere Pastor Joey and I ask because he's just got such a heart for this house. Why don't we put our hands together and welcome Liam to the stage. Did you skin your knees a couple of times in this place, Liam?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Grab yourself a seat. We're going to get a microphone up here for you guys as well. Now, the next guy I want to welcome, he probably saw this guy skinning his knees because he had his own kids in this house skinning their knees as well. He's a father in this house, and I've seen his children still attending in this house, and I've seen his children bring their children to this house. So there is something that this man established in his household and his home that makes him an absolute credit to this house. And he runs a men's connect group, and he serves the kids of Bundaberg Christian College over there as well through the week. He's just got a heart to see a godly heritage established throughout generations. And this man, we had his beautiful wife on the last panel, but this morning we have the beautiful Derek joining us to the stage. Derek, James, come on up. He's also on our committee of management. Thank you, Joey, for letting me know that. Derek helps me not burn this place down, and I appreciate all his insight and help with that as well. Okay, now the next member of our panel this morning, you've already seen her on the stage this morning, belting out an absolute cracker of a worship song. She's a mama and she runs a connect group. She helps direct our family's demographic with her handsome husband, Jono. So we're going to invite the beautiful, the lovely, the talented Lizzie to the platform. You know, I looked at you, Jono, and I didn't realize Lizzie was even sitting next to you. I'm like, well, where's Lizzie sitting if Jono's over there? Fantastic. She just blended into the seats with her beautiful black this morning. Okay, so we've got Liam, our YA leader, Derek, our committee of management member, and our worship leader, families director, Bundaberg City event planner, guider of Jono, director throughout the week. We've got an incredible panel that have joined us here on the stage this morning. Shall we get into some questions and just hear the heart of these guys and get some incredible insight from some incredible people? Sound good?
Sounds good.
I feel like I'm done talking already, so I'm going to let you guys do a lot of the talking this morning. That's fantastic. So,
hello?
So we've been talking. Your mic's working? We'll give that a little bit of a
hello?
Test.
Hi.
I love how just kind of organically the idea of a legacy and that remembrance has sort of come to the surface this morning. It's just something that's obviously carried through a week where as a country we remember, but to come into this place and remember the things that God does in our lives and the things that we do now that can impact those that come after us. So it's an incredible opportunity for us to discuss this. Now, through the week, I kind of chatted with you guys and we established that each of you were raised in Christian households. you all did your time in the pews and in Sunday school and whatnot. Some of us who might not have been raised in Christian households probably missed out on a lot of the fun that you saw being raised in Christian households. Do you guys, before we get into the real serious stuff, do you have stuff that you remember from growing up, things that mum and dad would make you do or things that were required of you as a Christian child at church on Sunday? Do you have anything? Lizzie, we'll start with you.
Yes. I remember doing the slides on the overhead projector.
Hey, yeah.
Which, yep. Man, that was a challenge and a half. It was like a split-second changeover.
That was a position of privilege, though, operating the overhead projector.
Well, privilege or punishment, whatever, whichever way you want to see it. No, I remember that vividly, and I guess a rule in our household growing up was that Sundays were non-negotiable. We didn't ask to do anything else. We didn't ask to go to a friend's house. Because we knew that that wasn't going to be allowed. We knew that Sunday was church day and
yep.
That was it.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
Yeah.
My mum said I couldn't wear a baseball cap to church because I guess the Holy Spirit has trouble penetrating through a hat when you're wearing a hat. So she said to get full access to what God wants to do, I had to keep the head exposed. But Derek, what about you? Did you see some of these things? Were you burning records in the church car park and anything like that sort of thing?
So my early childhood was actually in the Catholic Church. So actually we didn't have an overhead projector. We had hymn books.
Hymnals, yeah.
Yeah, and I was in a country town, so you shared your hymn books. as for wearing a hat, no, we weren't allowed to wear hats, but ladies were encouraged to wear hats.
Yeah, right.
So I don't know why that was.
Yep.
So I don't know what it was stopping, but...
Yeah.
And then when I was about 12, my mum had a friend who used to go to a traditional church and invited us to that church. So it was a gospel hall in Biggerton. So I started attending there where, yes, it was a lot different. People actually knew the Bible really well.
Yep.
The dress was different. Men wore slacks, white shirts and a tie, and ladies had head covering again. So that was a lot different. So later in life when I met my lovely wife and we come to Bundaberg.
Yep.
Going to a church like this was really wild.
Absolutely.
So I was very conservative. You can't tell by the shirt. My son-in-law brought me this to jazz me up a bit.
Yeah, no, you're very jazzed up. Very impressive.
Yeah, so I grew up very conservative, so.
Yeah, awesome.
We sort of sat on our hands.
Yeah. Yep. No, I grew up in the Catholic Church as well, so I remember the hymnals well and the kneel, sit, stand sort of procedures that would go on through them. I knew by the time you got to the second kneeling, there was only about 15 minutes before service was finished. You could kind of time. But I remember walking into a Pentecostal church for the first time and there was a drum kit on the stage and I thought hell was going to open up and swallow me right then and there. I'm like, what is there a drum kit on a stage for? And then a guy comes out with an electric guitar and I was just waiting for Ethel to rock out the pipe organ and it never happened. It was all keyboards, guitars, drums. Liam, you kind of grew up in this world with the drums and the electric guitar. What was church like for you growing up?
All I remember is being here all the time. My baby dedication was here. I got baptized in this church. I gave my life in kids' church to Jesus. Yeah, my parents were the youth pastors. They looked after youth. And before I was even of a youth age, I was at youth following my parents around, helping them set up whatever they needed for the night. And if my auntie and uncle couldn't look after me, I was here at youth. I spent a lot of time growing up on this property. Damaged a lot of skin, like Adam said. Did some crazy stuff in youth that we shall not talk about.
How do you think being raised in this environment, you probably spend more time in these walls than your home, your actual home. How do you think that's just has shaped you as a person? How has it influenced the person you've become having been raised in the house like that?
Yeah. Oh, it's... Look, growing up, it was... I didn't quite understand the, I suppose, some of the reasons why I came to church, and I kind of sat underneath my parents' covering a little bit. And obviously they've pastored the church, and it wasn't until I got my own revelation and started understanding who God was to me that I was able to truly understand the reason and the why behind why we do what we do here at church. And my parents were able to facilitate that amazingly growing up, constantly playing worship music in our home, praying for us while we sleep, just covering us in God's peace and His presence. And then obviously being a part of the church, I got to see and go to a lot of cool things like youth camps, where I was able to have my first encounter with God and just feel his presence and just the power that God has in our lives. Yeah.
Lizzie, did you feel being raised by Christian parents, were there things that shaped you in a positive way? Was there fears that it might have been shaping you in the negative ways at any stage? Like, what was that like growing up as a teenager?
Yeah, so my parents were always very active in the church they were in, very active. And I was actually reflecting on this question, and I have these vivid memories. I'm the eldest of three kids, and so the church we were at did a night service each week, and it was one of Dad's principles that he would go to every night service. And being the eldest, I was the only one allowed to go with him because my sister and brother had to go to bed early. And every single week after the church service, we would actually go out for dinner after. Didn't really matter where. It was mainly just a casual takeaway place. But every single week we would debrief after the service. We would chat about the message. And Dad was always really encouraging and really desired me to ask him questions, to be really inquisitive about the message and find out more. And I always had questions about what was spoken about that Sunday and why we do that and why do we do this and why do we believe this. And he really fostered an environment. And I think being in church and in that community, it really fostered that environment of asking the questions and finding out the answers of why we do what we do. And I guess it instilled that really core belief in me that church is really that it's God and His people. It's the love of God and it's the love for His people. Yeah. Yeah.
Derek, growing up in a church, did you have to make a crossover from being someone who attended church because it was what we had to do, and then it become something you wanted to do? Do you remember a crossover of that, or did you always enjoy finding yourself in the house on a Sunday?
No, not at first. We attended because Mum and Dad attended. So I used to enjoy after church. I used to go to a friend's place. We used to go to his farm. His dad, looking back, became a bit of a mentor because home life or Christian life at home was different. So we'd done prayers at night time. Mum would always do our prayer time. My dad worked away, so we only saw Dad Friday night to Sunday night. So there wasn't that during the week, but when they were there or we attended church, it was serving. They were, I suppose that's where my personality comes from. They didn't like to be up front. They would rather be at the back. And so they all were involved in doing something, not only in church, but in the small town. So small towns, slightly different. If you want to, you know, get away from your daily grime, you went and done something, you served, but everyone did it and it was a good time. It wasn't looked upon as work. It was, we had a lot of fun, and same here.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I moved to Bundaberg and attended a different church, that's when I became a Christian, and that was when things changed. I really enjoyed going to church.
Yeah.
I had new mentor. The pastor there was a great preacher. But he was a great family man. He was a great leader. So they're things that I looked at because I'm not a leader. I'm more of a worker, follower. So, yeah, that's when the enjoyment in church started. Become a Christian in 22nd of October 89. So it's been a while, but I was probably 19 or something when I became a Christian.
No, awesome. I love that about Derek. He says, I'm not a leader, I'm a worker, but you find him working anywhere and he's got four or five men following him to do exactly what he's doing. So his servant heart and his ability to lay his life down to serve someone else definitely leads. He's being quite modest up here, that's for sure. Lizzie, you're raising what I like to call church carpet kids. I referred to Liam being a church carpet kid. You sort of built a home alongside Jono that says we'll serve the Lord, and you've chosen to bring your children along on that mission. This means Finney and Harper will find a comfy spot on the church carpet to amuse themselves while Mum and Dad serve the house. They seem just as comfortable here as they do at their own home. What was your motivation or was a natural instinct that said, hey, this is how we're doing it? Was it a conversation you and Jono had, or is it something you've discussed with the kids? What was your thoughts behind that?
Yeah, they certainly are comfortable, that's for sure. We hadn't necessarily had a proper conversation of we are going to do this. I think that's how we grew up and we knew that's what we wanted for our kids. And reflecting on that question, I kind of pulled out some core reasons. It's actually really good to think about. One was because we actually believe, both Jono and I believe, that that's what God calls us to do. We believe that God calls us to bring our kids into the house, to raise our kids in the house. I actually was looking up Proverbs 22, verse 6, and it says, train a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And both Jono and I have been on our own journeys, and we actually did both separately depart from church for a short period of time. But actually what didn't depart from us was God's word and God's love. And I think once that is instilled in your children from a young age, that will never actually depart from them, no matter where they go. And I want to set our kids up. I want to set our kids up that no matter where they go, if it's a prodigal son moment, if that's where their journey takes them to, that they will know that this house is a safe place that they can always come home to.
That's awesome.
Always. Yeah. The second one was that, honestly, we love it.
Right.
Why do we want to be away? Like, and we want to bring our kids on that journey with us. We want them to see what serving looks like. We want them to experience what loving people looks like. Yeah. And the best way to teach that in kids is to show them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Liam, your Christian heritage actually goes back multiple generations. We've got Grandpa in the front row here, Pastor Ken, still serving the house, still going hard. Mum and Dad obviously pastored this house as well. Even your uncle got in on the job as well. Your uncle and auntie also pastored. So you've seen it over and over again. How have you felt it shaped your life and shaped your views on how you intend to proceed in the future with you, your wife, and your child that's due shortly? No, that's not true.
No,
I'm just spreading rumors.
There's no secret announcement. I've definitely seen the cost involved with pastoring a church. You obviously see a lot of things, you hear a lot of things, you're involved emotionally with a lot of people. And sometimes, you know, pastors are only human as well. And we just got to show them a lot of grace and keep praying for them and love on them. But, you know, the thing that I saw throughout their journeys as pastors was that their heart to serve never left. They still had a heart and eyes to see people who were hurting and broken and to still help them on their journey. And as I was kind of reading this question, God just showed me that, you know, a heart to serve him is a heart that's open to be used by him. And if we continue to look to God, look to Jesus in everything, you know, we've got to cultivate that faith in our lives that no matter what happens, you know, with our church or in our lives, in our families, that God is still going to be number one and we're going to continue to look to him because, you know, an open door, anything, God can use anything with that. So, keep looking to him and, do everything with God and don't do it without him because it sucks.
You can write that one down. Write that one down. That's the Instagram post for this week. Don't do it without him because it sucks. Derek, sometimes as parents, we can enroll our kids in Christian schooling. We can drop them out at Sunday school, and we're hoping in that process they're going to catch hold of what God has for their life. But how important was it for you as a dad to ensure that this Christian lifestyle, this Christian faith was demonstrated and reflected on at home?
As being the dad, it's not a lot of pressure, it's a lot of responsibility in being a role model to your children. So you want your children to go on the narrow path. So, you know, I suppose they've seen both their parents serve in the church. They've always seen that. They know that we love the Lord. We put the Lord first. So there's that. Praying for your children. You just got to pray, because sometimes they're gonna wander, but you can only pray, live the example, and we just trust God that that's where they're going to be. We prayed for that. They've all given their lives to the Lord. Our grandkids all go to church with their parents. Servanthood, faith, prayer. So they're the things that you need to do.
No, that's awesome. Who thinks they're sitting here safe and alive because of the unheard prayers of a mother or a parent at home? Yeah, I used to get home from school and Mum would go, "The Holy Spirit told me you did this at school today." I'm like, "Holy Spirit's a snitch." Keeps dobbing on me. I got. Lizzie, you've got two very young children. You work for the Bundaberg City Council. You're a families director at City Coach. You're also one of our incredible event planners here at City Coach. You have a husband that requires constant supervision and attention as well. And then on top of that, you choose to volunteer to be a part of the Sunday worship team. At what point of your madness did you go, "I might tack this on top of things as well"? Why have you chosen that, hey, the worship team is something that I'm going to put my hand up for as well?
I'm like a glutton for punishment, I think. No, this one is easy for me. I find praise and worship is my love language with God. That's one of my love languages with God. That's how I communicate with him, obviously as well through prayer, but there is nothing for me like getting into praise and worship with God. And something that Jono and I, our son says, Fiddy, he got taught this thing at school, which when he's frustrated with somebody or something like that, he says, "You're dipping my bucket." And if you do something nice for him, he says, "You're filling my bucket right now." which is very cute but very annoying when he says you're dipping it and you're just telling him off for being naughty. but to put it very plain and simply, praise and worship for me is filling my bucket. It's how my bucket gets full. Like, I love the ministries that we're involved with more than anything. But throughout the week, with work, with commitments, with kids, with everything we have going on, and everybody has going on in their daily life, I find when I get to come here and praise and worship, my bucket gets full to overflow to help me go out into the week and carry on and give and serve and be at my job, be the best version of myself at my job, because my bucket is full.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Is it? You're dipping my bucket. tipping, or you're tipping my bucket. That's awesome. Derek, both mums and dads play important roles in shaping their who their children become. What encouragement would you give young dads starting out the parenting journey? And what advice would you give those that may not have had a Christian father or a father present when they were growing up?
So the last part of that was about children or boys who don't have a Christian father or a father. You really need to find a role model. Role models, mentors, whatever you want to call them, a person that you can see has an attribute that you want, or they have an attribute that displays a great, you know, moral Christian person. They're the sort of people that you need to hang around. You need to hang around those people in your life. So you might find someone who is great with finances, so that's where you learn. Someone who's a great Christian teacher, preacher, you know, family man, a hard-working man. These are sorts of things you've got to look for in the people that you surround yourself. Because I remember listening to a Craig Rochelle podcast, and the bloke says he can tell what sort of person you are by the five people you hang around the most. Yeah. And that's really important. So, I don't know, I think God guides you, but if you're asking for wisdom, he presents you with the people that you need. Because I've always had that. So when I was in Biggerton, I had Mr. Ruge that I used to look up to. When we used to go to Church of Christ, Minister Alan Lean, he was just a great man. There was Mr. Bignall, who was just the Trevor Versace of this church. He was that in that church. If anything was to get done, Bob did it there. When we come here 15 years ago, we had Trevor, and he was a man that you didn't know what was getting done until he wasn't doing it.
Wow.
And when he got sick, six people took on the role that Trevor did. And it was just things that you didn't see getting done. He never told you he was doing it. He just done it. And that servanthood, that heart, we talked about this morning, or you spoke about this morning, about servanthood. I actually looked that up. It says in the Bible, serve, servant heart, or servanthood is mentioned 1,100 times in the Bible. So you've got to look at things instead of, it's how you look at things, I suppose. You know, if you want to look at it, it's a chore. It's going to be pretty negative and not so great, but we look at it as, you know, you're doing something for the Lord, and these are the beneficiaries.
Do you find that fills your bucket, like Lizzie was talking about? Does serving fill your bucket?
Definitely. Like, I hang around some of my son's friends, so their enthusiasm is contagious.
Yep.
They encourage an old person like me. We serve at the coffee. Like, there's Lachlan and Phil and my wife. We have a great time. Like, you don't see us in there, like, you know, we're all having a laugh and we're just doing the best that we can with what we've got.
Yeah, awesome. Do you find your service like that, Liam, like jumping on the drums or leading young adults? Is it something filling, or do you rely on other methodologies to be filled? Like, is it more of a personal refilling, or?
It definitely fills my bucket.
It fills your bucket.
As most of you know, my mum had a whole cancer journey, and throughout that, Alyssa and I were in Brisbane, and I've had to serve on some of the hardest Sundays on my mum's cancer journey. April of 21, mum was flown to Brisbane for emergency brain surgery, and it didn't hit me until the Sunday. Like, I was drumming, Pastor Adam and Joey were there when they were in Brisbane, and I'd never felt so, I guess, hurt and upset about a situation. And I was like, I still got to play another service. Like, how am I going to do this? And I had some leaders get around me, like Derek said, have those guys around you that encourage you and can feed you that scripture. And the second service, I was just like, God, like, this situation is out of my control. and I need to give it to you. And I, like, I could just feel just God just come onto me that service. And I played one of probably the best services I ever played. I just could feel the anointing just coming out of my hands, out of my feet. It was just incredible. Like, when you surrender your world, your natural, God just does something incredible. And yeah, I've surged on some really hard Sundays, through some really hard times, but God is so much bigger. God is so much greater than that circumstance. And you got to change your eye line. You got to, from keeping it down here, you got to lift them up, lift your eyes up. And often in worship, I don't even really necessarily raise my hands. I love raising my hands, but my head, most of the service will be lifted up because I'm envisioning God. I'm picturing God standing there in the throne room, praising him, giving every worry, every doubt, everything that comes into my mind that's of the devil, I just lift it to God and I say, God, it's yours. Use me. Here it is. Just do what you need to do. So, yeah.
That's incredible. It feels like I'm setting up for a big recruitment drive. But what an incredible thing where you said, like, detaching from the natural and making room for God to use you for the supernatural. I guess sometimes we can look at our serve roles and just look at the task that needs to be done. But when we partner that with the supernatural, when we realize it's a sowing so that something can be harvested from it, I think that's an incredible way to look at it. And it's yeah. Look, I had so many questions, but we've got so much. Well, our time's running out. Derek, I love what you were saying about mentors. I grew up raised by a single mum, and I could write a book about everything she contributed to my life. But one of the key things she did was made sure that I was positioned under good, strong Christian family men, and they were able to get around me and encourage me and lift me up as well. And Lizzie, we're all going to take dip in the bucket home with us this morning as well. But
you're welcome.
Hey, I want to thank each of you for your contribution to the house and what you do Sunday in, Sunday out, and through the week as well. Let's put our hands together for these guys. Thanks, guys. Grab yourself. Thanks, Derek. Thanks, Lizzie.
Thank you.
Do that weird thing. I had a dear friend in Brisbane. We could never quite work out, are we shaking hands, putting our arms around each other, giving each other a kiss on the cheek? So we'd normally just resort to headbutting each other. Pretty much what we did week in, week out. But it's incredible. Look, I did make a joke a little bit about a bit of a recruitment drive, but it's a very real thing. For this house to keep influencing the society and the community where we're in, and to spread what incredible joy and truth we've found in Jesus, it takes a team. And we are always looking for an opportunity to connect you in with a team and give you somewhere where you can serve and where you can be involved. And like these guys said, it's a bucket-filling experience. It's saying, I'm going to set aside what's comfortable for me and trust that God can use me for something positive. So if that is something you want to find yourself connected into, there's a QR code on the backs of the chairs there. You can actually just scan that with the phone camera smartphone thingy, and it'll take you through to a link tree where you can actually connect in and list your interest in serving. And serving doesn't need to be this big, endless, forever till eternity task that you sign up for. It's something that we can be flexible with and make space that suits you as well. So grab out your smartphones if that's got you. I'll actually give you permission to play with your phones right now. If you want to get your phones out, scan that QR code and write your name in there as well. Before we go, we never go a Sunday service without giving someone an opportunity to make a decision to step into the family of God. And you saw three great people up here this morning who were raised in Christian households and saw the fruit and the benefit of a life that was dedicated to Christ. And I think it's so much bigger than being able to raise a good family. It's something that it does on the inside of us. It's this thing where our heart is incomplete without that missing piece, and that missing piece is always and always will be Jesus. You see, in the Bible, when man was created, God had sculpted him with absolute precision. He'd made this piece of art to perfection, but it wasn't until God breathed into him that the creation was complete. And that hasn't changed for us. We can search through life for all those different things that we can add and try to find that completion within us. But the only thing by design that can complete us is God inside us. So I want to give you an opportunity this morning while the worship team's playing. If you could just close your eyes and bow your heads. If what I've just said this morning was sort of tugging on your heart a little bit, if your hands are maybe getting a little trembly, your skin getting a little hot, maybe the Holy Spirit's speaking to you this morning. Maybe this is your opportunity to put your hand up and say, I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want Jesus to come into my heart so I can know that completion. If that's you this morning, I'd love to pray with you. If you'd like to just lift your hand up in the air so I can see who I'm praying with. If you'd like to say, Jesus, come into my heart this morning, looking from left to right. Anybody this morning? I see that hand over there. Thank you. Lifting your hands, not a big thing to do, but it'll bring a big change into your life. It's saying, hey, I'm tired of this life I've been living on. I'm ready to live a life that Jesus has for me this morning. If there's anyone else, before I pray, anyone else like to make that decision this morning? Thank you, Lord God. Lord, we thank you for that decision this morning. We thank you that that heart opened up and said, Jesus, come into my life. We thank you, Lord God, that when we confess that you are Lord and we ask forgiveness of our sins, you forgive us and you make us new, Lord God. We thank you for that soul that was saved this morning, and we celebrate in Jesus' name. We all said amen. Okay, guys, it's been a long morning, but it's still got more to come. We've got baptisms happening outside. We've got a number of incredible family members that are going to be jumping in the tank and being baptized. So please hang around for that. Cafe 140 is open, so you can grab yourselves a toasty, a hot or cold drink. They are available out there. But I want to encourage you to stick around, support these people that are being baptized this morning. We're going to have a real celebration outside there. But before the celebration outside, why don't we jump to our feet, go out with a praise song, celebrate, and we'll see you next week here at City Coast Church.
Free. I am free. I am free. At last another one.